This is an iHeart podcast.
Some fun on a Friday, baby. Chris, you messed up. You didn't have the talk. You didn't have the talking board on it. See, I was supposed to do. I had this great plan to do that because I was all excited to open the show. And like he always does, Chris just took the show and flew it right into the side of a mountain. What do we have today? Let's ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I'm going to give a teenager some motivation. Are you in a rut in your life, maybe? Talk about that in a second. We're going to talk about Kevin McCarthy, Mitch McConnell. Someone wants to know, can we replace these guys? Are they going to be replaced? Why? Why not? Who needs advice as a father? I'll try to give you as much of that as humanly possible. Dressing your beer, your sons, your children, and the draft. We have styling hair when you're losing your hair, and why Christians don't vote. All that and so much more all over the place tonight coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, I do want to hit something, a couple things really briefly here, because Eric Adams said something hilarious. Joe Biden said something hilarious. And millionaires are fighting with billionaires in the Hamptons. And we'll get to all those things. Joe Biden has this to say. Let me get to this before I get to ask Dr. Jesse.
Everything they proposed and are proposing will make inflation worse. Everything they're proposing will make inflation worse.
The Democrats are going to get murdered in the midterms. You know they're going to get murdered because when your president gets asked about, hey, Republicans are going to take over the House, when your answer to inflation is, yeah, we suck, but they're going to be worse, you're going to get creamed. Once again, it floors me how, not that these people are out of touch, but that they don't know that they're out of touch. What's a great way to, right now in South America, there is a family. There's a family, and you know what they do for a living? They live on some sort of a farm, maybe even a drug farm, but they live on a farm. They live there, and they're allowed to live there in a one-room hut. And they all, the whole family, works on the farm. That's why they're allowed to live on the farm. That's why they're allowed to live in the hut. They get just enough food every day to stay alive. And that guy, that family, actually hits kids after him. That's all they'll know their entire life. Now, why am I bringing up this family? Because I have no perspective on that family. I've never lived that way. I don't know what they're going through. But here's the thing. I know I have no perspective on that family. And if I thought I needed some perspective on that family, I know I'd need to seek it out in some way. I don't have perspective. I don't know what they go through, but I know I don't know what they go through, right? There's the acknowledgement of it. People have 1,000 different walks of life that you can't relate to or I can't relate to. I can't relate to people who aren't world famous authors. What, Chris? No, seriously. The Biden administration, it's one thing to be out of touch. Okay, you're a bunch of rich, snobby elitists who live in a political bubble. I get it. I get it. You're out of touch. But how do you not know you're out of touch and find ways to make sure you're in touch? Does nobody in this administration have the power, have the voice to pull Joe, pull the team aside and say, hey, guys, look, I know we don't care about the peasants. I get that. I don't care about them either. Let me just say, I don't care about these peasants. But when wives are having to text their husbands from the grocery store that they can't afford everything on the grocery list, this kind of stuff doesn't help us at all.
Everything they've proposed and are proposing will make inflation worse. Everything they're proposing will make inflation worse.
You think that is what she wants to hear? You think that's what he wants to hear? Chris just mentioned when he heard me play that again, they're too insulated, and that's really what it comes down to. They're not in touch, and they don't even know how to get in touch. That's how out of touch they are. There's no one they can even seek out. Remember, we haven't said this in a while, but what are the three things all of your cultural leaders have in common? All of them. One, what is it? No love of country. Oftentimes they hate the country, but there's no love of country. So that governs a lot of what you see. You get stressed out, and I know I'm sitting on a mountain of Ask Dr. Jesse emails for today. You get stressed out about the state of the country or inflation or abortion or all these different things. Why? Because you care. You care. You woke up today and you saw something bad about America and it hurt you. None of your cultural leaders have that. That's just that whatever that is, it's not inside of them. There's no patriotism. So that's one. Two, they have no connection to the real world. That's really a huge part of what we're dealing with here. No connection, meaning they all grew up rich or upper middle class, which is fine. But then you went right from there to academia, ultra, ultra left communist academia. And then you went right from there into politics, which that's not the real world. I'm an intern for Congressman Jerkwater. Or they went into media. This isn't real life. Radio and TV isn't real life. That's not how normal people live. Now, that's how I've lived most of my life, is how normal people live. But I'm aware enough to know that's not how normal people live. I have a backwards hat on. I haven't showered today. That's not how normal people live. That's not how they live. So they go right from rich upbringing to academia, right into politics or media or back into academia. Either way, soon, before you know it, you look around, you're a 50-year-old person with no relation to the guy out there right now. He's doing asphalt work at night. He's listening to this show on his AirPods in his ear as he does asphalt work at night. Who in the Biden administration has ever done asphalt work? By the way, asphalt work sucks. It freaking melts. Chris, have you ever had to do it? It's not the smell. Now, the smell sucks too. The worst part is it's so hot, if you're not careful, it melts the bottom of your work boots. It melted the bottom of my work boots, and work boots are expensive. I'll never forget the devastation the first time I did asphalt because I wasn't careful. I didn't know enough to be careful. Coming home that night and looking at the bottom of my work boots and thinking, I'm going to have to get these resold, and I don't have the money for it. Oh, I know. It sucked. Anyway, so again, what are the three things they have in common? No love of country, no connection to the real world. And what's the third? Everyone knows it by now. An ironclad belief that they should rule as kings and queens. The cultural leaders of this country, of all the West now, but we'll focus on America, the cultural leaders of America, they look at the limits on their power given to them by civilization, by Western society, and they think those limits are frankly absurd. I'm not talking about snobbishness here. It's way beyond that. They believe they are kings and queens, that they should rule as feudal lords. And you should understand how much they genuinely look down on you. They think you are a stupid, uneducated, worthless peasant. You know you shouldn't be allowed to decide what you drive. What? No, you don't get to make your own healthcare decisions, peasant. No, they'll decide what you drive, where you work, what you put in your body, because they know better. They're the nobility. You're a stupid peasant. Those three things explain virtually everything about our politics today. Everything. And those three things, those are common for powerful empires that are crumbling in the end. If you went to the Roman Empire, people talk about the breakup of the Roman Empire as if it was a one-year thing. It took years, decades and decades. But if you read about them, that's exactly what they went through. You had all of a sudden these high society Romans. They weren't trying to make Rome better, the glory of Rome. All they cared about was themselves. They didn't have any idea what normal people went through because their dad was a senator and his dad before him was a senator. All they've ever known is a life of slaves and servants and eating grapes and things like that. And I assume they ate grapes, Chris. That may not be true. That's the image I have in my mind. And they viewed themselves as simply being above and beyond you. They would never look at a normal person, a carpenter. They would never look at him as being an equal human being. No, no, he's low. He's virtually worthless. And of course I need to tell him how to operate. This is how rotting empires are. All right. Speaking of rotting empires, let's have a frank talk, an offensive talk about mental illness. I saw Eric Adams is blaming mental illness for something. We'll talk about that. And it's time to address somebody who's having motivation problems in life and all kinds of Ask Dr. Jesse fun. Oh, I'm ready, Chris. You know one of the reasons I'm ready? Is I slept for 9 hours last night in my Giza dream sheets. When's the last time you lay down and slept for 9 straight hours? I'm so bad. Someone said, one of the Ask Dr. Jesse emails today, where they were complaining that sometimes I talk too fast. And you know what? That's 100% true. Part of the reason I talk so fast is I sleep like a baby now. Your sheets matter, man. That's the part that's touching your skin. That and your pillow, those are the two most important things. Oh, look at that. My pillow sells them both. And Giza Dream Sheets are 60% off right now. Go get a couple sets. You get a couple sets so you can throw a set on when the other one's in the wash. You have to go to mypillow.com, click on the radio listener specials, use the promo code Jesse. Mypillow.com, promo code Jesse. Or you can call 800-845-0544. Don't miss out on 60% off. That's limited time, right? Mypillow.com, promo Jesse. We'll be back talking about mental illness.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so?
Yeah.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. And of course, it's an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday where I take 3 hours and answer your questions. And you emailed so many good ones in to Jesse at JesseKellyShow.com. It's going to take me all 3 hours. I do want to address this very, very briefly, though. One, yes, I'm aware of the January 6th committee subpoenaing Trump. I know that's the big news of the day. I don't consider it the big news of the day because I already knew that, and you already knew that because you listened to the show. Let me just pause on this. I wasn't going to do this, but let's address where we are. I know this is kind of depressing, but let's address where we are. You know that Donald Trump is going to be arrested, right? He's going to be arrested. And I'll tell you something else. There's a very good chance Donald Trump is going to go to prison for a period of time. You understand that? Now, I know maybe that makes you mad. Maybe you're yelling. Just hear me out really quickly. Yes, that's horrifically unjust. Yes, what's happening to Trump is, it is banana republic awful stuff. But what Trump is in right now, he is in the crosshairs of the system. Remember, the system crushes system disruptors. Right now, that FBI raid, when they took all those documents, a big fishing expedition, they're going to find something. Now, whether it's legit or not, it probably won't be, but they'll make sure they, quote, find something. And then they are going to charge Donald Trump. And if you say, Jesse, no, they won't, I will ask you, okay, who's going to stop them? Anyone? Merrick Garland, the guy who's been going after school board parents and pro-lifers who read the Bible? Is he going to step in and say, no, leave that Trump alone? Who's going to stop them? Nobody. There's no one with the power to stop them. And then as far as Trump going to prison goes, where's Trump going to go on trial? Washington, D.C., where every single January 6th political prisoner has had the book thrown at him by the judges and the juries. Why? Because they're 93% Democrat in Washington, D.C., and modern-day Democrats are full-blown communist activists who would never dream of giving someone a fair trial when they can attack a Republican. Donald Trump is going to prison. If you woke up today and were shocked at the news that Donald Trump got a subpoena for January 6th, by the way, that's not why he's going to prison. He'll go to prison for the FBI stuff where they're going to lie. But if you woke up and were shocked today about the January 6th subpoena, I would argue you don't listen to the Jesse Kelly Show near closely enough. This train doesn't have any stops between now and prison for Trump. If you argue he's not going to prison, I'm going to need you to elaborate for me what's stopping it. Who's going to stop it? There's no stopping it. That train has one destination. So no, I'm not talking about it. It's crap. I know it's crap. You know it's crap. It is what it is. You know what else is crap? Blaming every vile thing that people do on mental illness. I saw this headline, Eric Adams. He says mental illness is driving the subway safety woes. Now, I'm not dismissive of mental illness. I am well aware that there are mentally ill people out there. I've seen feminists. I'm well aware there are mentally ill people out there. I am. I'm not even making a joke about it. Mental illness is real. Maybe you struggle with it. But I will tell you this. The laundry list of things I've done wrong in my life is longer than the one you could ever put together. And not one of those things was a result of mental illness. They were all a result of me being a piece of crap. Every one of them. Every single time some piece of trash goes down to the New York City subway and throws someone in front of the subway and kills them, every single time I have all these apologists in the media and in politics, mentally ill. No, maybe he's just a vile animal who should have been hooked up to the electric chair 10 years ago. Maybe that's what it comes down to now. Maybe it's time as a country. Maybe it's time we stop making excuses for every piece of crap who hurts someone. Well, he's just mentally ill. That's why he has a machete in his hands. Fine, arrest him, put him on trial, then use the machete to cut his head off. I'm so sick of watching innocent people be preyed upon everywhere and then having everyone out there run to make excuses for them every single time. Well, you don't understand. His dad left him. His dad wasn't always around. Fine, arrest his dad too. That you can electrocute them both side by side. I'm sick of this nonsense as a country. And it's endless. It's endless. Well, he was mentally ill. He's mentally ill. He's definitely mentally ill. Okay. Throw him in an asylum. I don't care what you do with him. Stop with the excuses. Oh, he's a, because I think, you know what I think about? I think about someone I love being hurt bad by one of these animals and then hearing the mayor say, well, he's mentally ill, as if that's somehow going to be a comfort to me. Well, I don't ever get to see the wife again. She got thrown in front of a subway, but hey, you know what? Not the end of the world. He was mentally ill. Look, I excuse that behavior. Mentally ill. He had a chemical imbalance. Oh, go screw yourself. Keep a hero gun on you. Keep a hero gun on you. Did I say buy one? No, I didn't. Buying one goes without saying. And buying one for the person you love the most, that goes without saying. Keep it on you. And in fact, you find yourself on a subway platform, keep your hand on it so it's ready to go. Put your phone in your pocket and keep your hand off it. Keep your hero gun in your pocket and keep your hand on it. Or a hero arrow if the hero gun's too big. Get them both. I love them both. Non-lethal gun. Does not require a concealed carry permit. Anyone can use it. Doesn't matter if you know how to use guns or don't. Anyone can use it. By your nightstand, in your purse, in your pocket. It'll save your life. Hero2020.com. Code Jesse gets you a special discount. Hero2020.com, all right? State restrictions may apply. Now I'm going to address motivation. Someone struggling with it. And I saw this story out of the Hamptons. I have a funny story about Nantucket I forgot to tell you. Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show. What's more fun than rich people fighting over something? It's so fascinating to watch. No, there's a great story out of the Hamptons, Chris. I'm going to get to that in a minute. I have to get to some Ask Dr. Jesse questions. I meant to get this one at the opening of the show. Jesse, I always have had problems with motivation and giving up. I'm a teenager, still in high school, and I went from being an A student to failing in a period of 2 months. My dream school was MIT, and now I'm not even sure if I'll make it to college. Everyone around me says I'm smart and capable, but I just need to motivate myself. I feel like nothing is worth it anymore, and I'm thinking of giving up on my hobbies and my dreams. Okay, you should. You should give up on them. Because maybe that's what you're meant to, not what you're meant to do in life. You're not giving up on your hobbies and dreams. You're giving up on things that don't interest you anymore. Maybe you're in this place in your life right now, too, where you're basically in a rut. You're just in a rut. Maybe right now, as you listen to the sound of my voice, you're driving to or coming home from, which is more likely given the show's on at night. Maybe you're coming home from work right now, and it was just the most soul-sucking experience in the history of mankind. Doesn't make you a bad person. It makes you a normal person. That's how I've lived most of my life. Even, I sold RVs before this on top of everything else I did. Selling RVs, right? It's great living. I was making six figures, good income, making a good life. I would wake up on Saturday mornings because you have to work Saturdays selling RVs. And I'm not saying don't do it, by the way. It's a great career, especially if you don't have a college education. Shoot, even if you do, go make a pile of money, provide for your family. So I'm not dogging it. But we, young family, obviously, as you know, I have a young family. I'd wake up Saturday mornings, sales manager of a mega RV dealership here in the Houston area, making six figures. What do I have to complain about? But my kid would have a T-ball game that day. I can't go because on Saturdays, that's the day you have to go to work. When you're in sales, I mean, you can basically only work Saturdays. That's where you make most of your money. And I would drive to work on Saturday morning, cup of coffee beside me, and I wanted to be anywhere else in the world. Just a soul-sucking experience. If you're in a rut, maybe you're meant to do something else. Maybe you're not supposed to go to MIT, brother. Maybe your old hobbies, maybe you lost interest in them. You know what that makes you? Normal. Doesn't make you a bad human being. So what? You all of a sudden hate school now? School sucks. Of course you hate school. School sucks. Now you still got to go grind and get them A's back and work it. But you're in a grind as a teenager? Brother, life is a freaking grind. Let me tell you something. As an adult, man, woman, everyone listening to the sound of my voice who's of any age is nodding their head right now. You're going to go through periods of life where it's a freaking grind. Where it's soul-sucking in a grind. Now, it doesn't last forever. That's the good news. None of the grinds last forever. Life is all peaks and valleys, and none of them last forever. When times are good, live it up, because there's a valley coming, I promise. And when times suck, just keep friggin' marching. You'll be back up to the peak before you know it. As a teenager, it's one of the worst parts of your life, in my opinion. At the age of 41, I classify the teenage years as being one of the worst parts of my life. And I had a blast as a teenager. I had good friends. Life was good. But, dude, you're skinny and awkward. You're all of a sudden you have hair growing out of your body. You love girls. You've all of a sudden discovered that girls are basically the greatest thing ever. But you don't have any idea how to talk to them. I mean, it's almost torture what God did to men during the teenage years. Ladies, I'm sure you go through it too. But as a dude, all you want to do is girls. That's all you want to do is talk to girls. Oh my gosh, they're the best. They're all so hot. I want them all. Yet you have no game whatsoever and no self-confidence. So it always ends up, hi, I'm Bob. All right, I'm going to go pee myself now. You don't even have any idea what you're doing. You're in what I would argue the hardest years of your life, man or woman. If you're a teenager listening to the sound of my voice, my goodness, just keep going. Just keep going. And eventually you'll come out of that valley, all right? Jesse, rhinos galore. I'll get to the Hamptons story in a minute. Rhinos galore. One rhino in Congress is one too many, but when you have them in leadership positions, they're deadly. Jesse, look into the Kelly crystal ball and tell me what you see in the upcoming Congress. Is there any chance Kevin and Mitch get their walking papers? It's time for a Jim or Ted or Lauren. It's time for anyone who won't patronize their constituents. All right, I haven't told you this story in a very long time, but I'm going to tell you a story about how leadership stays in leadership, and it's a story about me. It's actually a story about me and John McCain. Believe that? Me and John McCain. Before I get to that story, I do want to do the Hamptons one. I have to tell you a Nantucket story real quick, because this story I'm about to tell you about me and McCain and leadership and why they're going to stay, it might take me a little bit. That might be a 2 or 3 segment story. All right, so just let me do this one first. There's a headline out of the New York Times today. Millionaires versus billionaires. The fight over a Hamptons airport. And I'm not going to go into the details of it. Essentially, they wanted to privatize the airport so the air traffic was more quiet. I'm talking about rich people problems. I don't want to hear any planes. And it reminded me of one of the most baller stories I've heard. It'd be fun to have this much money. I was in Nantucket writing my book, Chris. As a world famous author, I was walking through the streets of Nantucket writing my book. Stop asking. No, don't stop asking about the book. The book will be out May or June, I would guess. I'm going to keep you posted. When everything I'm allowed to tell you, I'll tell you. All right. It's out of my hands now. It's all turned in. It's all done. But we're in Nantucket and we took a little ride on a boat. The guy was there with, one of the guys I was there with, we rented a boat. We didn't own a boat. We rented a boat and we were cruising out, driving to look at rich people houses and rich people boats and stuff like that. And it's all these sweet, fancy yachts you can't afford. It was fun. Like a Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous boat trip. But we come across the yacht club. I believe maybe it was a boat club. Don't quote me on the name. Boat club or yacht club, I forget. And get this. You want to talk about just the rich people wars people go through. Nantucket is very, very old. Apparently, it used to be a huge whaling community. And I'm not talking about when you're in a slump, fellas, late on a Friday night. I'm talking that we go out and actually harpoon whales. They're very, very dangerous. But it's very old. There's a huge history there. So there's a yacht club or boat club, but you're only allowed in the yacht or boat club, as you're only allowed to be a member of it if you're old Nantucket. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how much money you have, you're not allowed in the old Nantucket thing. Who's the richest guy in the world right now? Chris Bezos? Bezos, Amazon guy? If Bezos moved to Nantucket tomorrow, he may have a place on Nantucket, I don't know, and went and tried to get in the yacht club, they would not let him in. They're famous for that. No, sorry, which is kind of cool, right? But here's the thing. When you're dealing with billionaires, billionaires don't get denied. Billionaires don't hear the word no because they don't have to. They have the ability to buy whatever they want. So here you have a bunch of billionaires on Nantucket. They can't get into the super prestigious yacht club and they get salty about it. What do you think they do? I'll tell you in just a second. Before I tell you that, let me tell you this real quick. We have to always remember to do some good for someone else, do we not? And it's hard in this day and age when everything's hard, that it's hard to make yourself give back. You save a baby's life for $28. A $28 donation to preborn, you know what that does? It allows them to give a free ultrasound to that scared pregnant young lady who was walking into an abortion clinic. Preborn sets up outside of those and they pursue them online and they say, hey, you look, I'll give you a free ultrasound. When young women, overwhelmingly, it's over 90% is what the numbers are. When they hear the sound of their baby's heartbeat, they choose life. That's how God made women. They choose life. They see it. They hear it. That's my baby all of a sudden. $28 saves a life. $140 saves five of them. Right now, from your cell phone, pick it up. Dial #250 and say baby. #250 baby. Or if you're online, that's fine. You can go to preborn.com/Jesse. Preborn.com/Jesse. $28 saves a life. All right. You want to hear what the billionaires who weren't allowed in the club on Nantucket did? I'll tell you in a second.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and here's a reminder. You can email the show whatever you want. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. What a privilege it is to email me, Chris. What? Chris, it is. All right. I'm going to get to this story about Kevin McCarthy and McConnell, and I'm going to get to that question in a second. Back to the billionaires on Nantucket. So the new billionaires, they're not allowed in the old yacht club or boat club. they got the permitting and built their own yacht club. And now there's a new yacht club, but that's not even the best part. To get into the new yacht club, it's $200,000. Chris, that's the initiation fee. That's not what you, oh, that's not even what you pay annually. $200,000 to even get to walk in the door and get yourself a locker room. How wild is it that people have that much money? When I got told that story, I about fell over and died. We're all out here trying to pump gas and people just stroking $200,000 checks for nothing. Let's talk about Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell. People are very worried that they're going to be back in leadership. Are they going to be in leadership? Are they going to be? Let me tell you a little story about me. Back when you remember my story, when I got out of the Marine Corps, I moved to Arizona. My folks had started a construction company. And so that's what I wanted to do for a living. That's what I thought I was going to do the rest of my life. So I moved to Arizona, started working there, started going to community college. Got really mad that Barack Obama was running for president, and I decided to jump in and run for office, run for Congress. Now, no one knew who I was because I'd never run for anything, and I was too new to the area. So I had no business running for Congress at all anyway, but I was mad, and you know I have impulse control problems. So I ran. When I do something, though, yes, I have impulse control problems, and it normally ends in horrific failure, the way this one ended up ending too. But when I go, I do go all in. When I decided I was running for Congress, I went everywhere. You couldn't have a pancake breakfast at the local VA without me being there. I was at Rotary Club meetings. If there was a Republican meeting anywhere in my district, I was there. I was everywhere, shaking people's hands, kissing babies, giving speeches out there, and as you can imagine, I was a little fire and brimstone. You think I'm fire and brimstone now. I was all kinds of fire and brimstone back then. So I was doing that, and I was running hard and running hard and running hard. And then eventually, the race, which was initially thought to be unwinnable, so no one got in it. Well, I was in super early. And eventually, this is the Tea Party year, keep in mind, they started shifting the race to winnable or possibly one we can pick up. Well, all of a sudden, the water's warm. All of a sudden, they think they might be able to pick up this seat. So what happens? The establishment GOP in Arizona, keep in mind, just pause for a moment. Wherever you live right now, wherever you specifically reside, whatever county it is, there are power brokers within your county, donors and high up officials who control most of the money and influence. That's just the way politics works. In Arizona, as a state, John McCain ruled Arizona, ruled with an iron fist. What John McCain said went. He would, if he didn't want donors to acknowledge you, they wouldn't acknowledge you. If he wanted them to drown you in money, they would drown you in money. It was just what it is. It is what it is. So the establishment decided they were going to throw in a state senator, a well-established state senator against me. Well, we can pick up this seat. We don't want this young hothead getting in there, especially with his immigration stance, because I've always been a huge border hawk. So, let's find someone else. So they throw this guy in the race, Jonathan Payton. And I told you this story before. I hate asking people for money, but you have to when you're running for office. We were scratching and grinding, trying to everything we could do. And I think by this point in time, we'd raised $200,000 or $300,000 in a year. By the way, that's nothing. It's virtually nothing. No one knew who I was. This state senator gets in, and all the powers that be, they all pick up the phone. They all call each other. They throw him one fundraiser the opening night of his campaign, some fancy fundraiser at a mansion. Over $500,000 he raised in one night. One night. My staff came in all dejected the next day and told me about it. But again, I was such a young hothead. I was like, ah, screw him. I don't care. He's going down anyway. Oh, hold on. I got to pause this story real quick. I'll get back to it in a second. Buy your emergency 3-month food kit this weekend. Okay? This is the weekend. I know you're putting it off. I know you've been to preparewithjessekelly.com. I know you've been there a couple times and you're looking at the food kits. I don't want to. Should I spend the money? Should I not? Okay, I've told you everyone in your home needs one, and they do. If that's too much right now, get one. Then a couple months from now, get another one. You don't have to do it all at once. You don't have to take it all in at one time. You don't have to. Go to preparewithjessekelly.com. Preparewithjessekelly.com. My Patriot Supply has an emergency 3-month food kit for you there, $250 off. Preparewithjessekelly.com. All right, back to the story. So they raise $500,000 to this guy, and they think he's going to beat me. Well, I don't stop running hard, and we start having debates. Now, I don't claim to be very good at very many things. Obviously, I'm a great front man to a band. I'm the menu whisperer. I'm a top 5 napper, but I'm not exactly an exceptionally talented human being. I do, however, debate really, really well. Speaking in front of people is not a bother for me. In fact, it gets my adrenaline going like I'm about to get in a fight. And so I love it. I just really, really love it. I can't help it. I love it. And other people don't like it. And other people are not combative. I love combat. Let's have a good old fight and let's just brawl it out. So we started having these debates and I would destroy everyone. There were 2 or 3 other candidates in, but I would obviously mainly focus on the establishment guy and I would just crucify him. I still think there are videos online of me destroying this guy. So I'm winning all the debates and I'm still grinding out there. And I decide, in a fateful decision, the chance I have to beat him in this primary is I'm going to take every dime I have and I'm going to spend it all on television. Now, I couldn't buy major network television. It was too expensive. But when you turn on the History Channel at night, you know, Fox News late at night, you were going to see my ads. When people see you on TV, they automatically think you're important. That's just the way the human mind works. They think you're a celebrity and you're important. Long story short, I beat him. Crushed him. Beat him by like 7 points in the primary. Woohoo, that's good. I'm in the nominee. But there's a problem. Remember how I just told you I was going to spend all my money? Well, I did. I spent all my money. Then I was the nominee and I thought, nice. Now that I'm the nominee, the party will get behind me. About that. You want to know why Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy are going to be in leadership? I'll tell you in a minute.
This is an iHeart podcast.